depreciation divided by capital assets.
Yeah, exactly.
Accumulated depreciation divided by capital assets, and then you subtract that from one. And what this is showing for us is that it's not that big of a change. I mean, it's just the scale there is only moving at 0.01, but it shows that we had that sewer rehab project in 2009, 2010, so we're up, and since that point in time, we really haven't done any significant capital projects.
So this assumes that when something's fully depreciated, it's at the end of its
life,
which isn't necessarily true.
Right.
Especially if you invest in it, like we do. So if you maintain it properly.
And it shows...
So just a sidebar to that question or statement. What is the? Do we put 27 years in for most of the big sewer stuff, or do you know what you put in?
It might be 50.
50?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, although we have sewer systems in the town that are 50 years old, but I think it'd be interesting to know that, just to know how the calculation is.
Yeah, right offhand, I'd have to go back and look. I'm thinking it's 50. But.
Wow, okay. So maybe it's a... Maybe it's more right than we think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that still shows 50% of the stuff is only half, only 25 years old or less.
Right.
Yeah.
And this shows, the in comparison to the other towns. So again, you see that Carolina Beach and Surf City that had the huge debt. I mean, also have the higher ratios into newer infrastructure.
Should Russell's aging out more than ours?
Right. Because again, they had no debt, so they haven't really done any projects for a while.
Wow.
So I don't know if anybody has any questions on any of that comparative information.
No, thank you.
That was very cool.
That was good.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Is that a standard reporting thing that somebody's doing now?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. That's pretty interesting way.
So now we're going to something really interesting. The new tax changes that have gone into effect, and all I'll just kind of focus on the effect that they have on the town.
Right.
And each one of these I'll go into more detail. But the first thing that's going to happen is elimination of the electric franchise tax. Then expansion of the sales tax base, elimination of some tax exemptions and the two sales tax holidays. And then a temporary cap on the state gas tax. So how do these things affect us? Well, the first thing is that effective July 1st, the elimination of franchise tax, electricity franchise tax, right off the top, that's going to take about $96,000 to $100,000 out of our revenue. And that's just an average of the last 2 years. But also, I'll give... Not to panic, I'll tell you some things that might offset that a little bit. But, and I just put on there that we'll receive the last distribution in September, and that'll cover the quarter ending June 30th.
So that $96,000 is for the total year, so we won't lose that
year.
Much out of the budget. You lose three quarters of that?
Yeah, probably
okay.
30. The next item was the expansion of the sales tax base. So what's that going to do for us? Some things just took effect January 1st. First one is you go to the movies, you're going to pay sales tax on your movie ticket or to a museum or other kind of live performances. If you get a warranty on service warranty on an appliance, your car, or whatever, you're going to pay tax on that now.
Let me ask about that first one. Something like the seafood festival in the fall. We're going to have to pay sales tax now on those tickets we buy for. That's good. We get them free.
And some of these will have more impact than others.
7%?
Sales tax on nutritional supplements sold by chiropractors, or food sold in college dining rooms and newspapers. And we'll start to see the additional revenue from those changes in our April distribution. So we'll actually get some of that in this current fiscal year.
So the dining plan for the spring versus fall went up 7% at ECU, I can tell you.
These are some expansion of the sales tax base, elimination of the tax holidays, but these take effect July 1st. And as I mentioned before, the The sales tax that you pay on electricity is going to go from 3% to 7%.
There's no taxes, Dean. There's their no taxes by legislation.
There you go.
And then there'll be sales tax on it from things sold at like bakery thrift stores. Farmers will have to have a gross income of 10,000 to qualify for certain tax exemptions. Nonprofit hospitals will be limited to an annual sales tax refund of $13 million.
Okay.
Even though, from what I read, there's nobody that gets $13 million at this point, so...
That's how they wrote it.
And then those two tax holidays, the back-to-school and the Energy Star,
are
eliminated.
They'll be making more later.
All those things will add to the sales tax base, supposedly.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen in December? That's when we're going to get our first quarterly distribution of the sales tax on electricity. So the way they're going to calculate it is cities and towns will receive 44% of the total sales tax collected during the during July to September. And you'll be allocated what you received in the same quarter of the previous year. So for us, what we just got was $32,970. So that's what we're going to start with. But the problem becomes if that 44% doesn't cover everybody for what they received, we're going to get reduced. So that's the downside of this whole thing. We could actually have less revenue than we currently do this year. But on the other side, if there's sufficient amount, we could actually get more.
Right.
So it's one of those, you know, we're going to have to kind of wait and see how this plays out, which isn't going to make it easy at budget time on which direction to go. So
did you look when they came up with that 4%? They should have estimated which way they thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
And the other thing was the cap on the gas tax. This went into effect October 1st of 13. It was capped at 37.5 cents. So that's probably going to lower our PAL bill distribution and by a little bit. The estimate isn't a lot, and I haven't gotten enough information to know how much. And I think for years beyond that, it was estimated that consumption was going to go down. We were probably going to get a lesser amount anyway. So the biggest impact is probably going to be on the next fiscal year.
Not the way we're doing stuff like this. Big Oil is in charge.
So this is some, and I'll call these very preliminary estimates that the League of Municipalities put out based on, and this is specifically for us, what they're estimating our increase in revenue are going to be based upon all these changes. So they're estimating that we're going to have an increase every year. But very preliminary, and I'm going to say estimate. So.
Yeah.
So if we want to look at that,
so we lose $96,000 a year.
You're saying in total,
yeah, but we're going to make $4,000.
Yeah.
But where the difference, that 96 isn't going to come into play until July 1st for the next budget year.
Yeah.
And where it's going to be made up, supposedly, is the increase in the tax base and charging you 7% on your electricity.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of 3%. So you're going to have more than double your tax on your electricity starting July 1st. So that's where it's just taken from here and putting it over here.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see. As time goes on, we'll see how it really works out. Then I just wanted to go through some... I'll start with positive things. You know, I always bring the bad news, I guess.
Arlen, your hair is starting to get grayer.
Well, that's a good reason, but I'll start with positives related to revenue. I mean, we have a extremely high tax collection rate, so that's, you know, and that, there's no reason not to think that'll continue. The new Tag and Tax Together program, as you know, as you renew your registration, you pay your property taxes now on the same time, so that's going to also increase collections. A positive is, you know, hopefully all those estimates come true for related to the tax bill that I just showed you. So we could have an overall increase in revenue. And then any new revenue sources, and I'm sure there's more than these, but, you know, I threw out, you know, Oceanfront Park rental fees and fees for the markets that we've been having, and I'm sure there's some other things, but I thought they were probably the, you know, two most significant, or at least they have been up to this point. And I'll stick to some positives, but also now related to expenses. You know, again, cost of fuel is kind of stabilized, and hopefully, I guess, it's projected to, you know, not do anything crazy, but, you know, again, anything could change. We actually, just beginning January 1st, the cost of the medical insurance for retirees who are on Medicare, where I guess we actually have like a supplement that we pay for, decreased by $200 a month. So what's that mean? That means overall, on an annual basis, we're going to save about $16,800.
Why did it go down? We didn't change
There was a change.
State retirement system finally got us some supplements. In the past, we've been paying almost full price for regular insurance, thanks to the Affordable Care Act.
And that annual savings is split between the water and sewer and the general fund. And then one of the other changes, prior to this fiscal year, the one we're in now, we did not actually have to have a unemployment insurance reserve. What would happen is if there were any claims against the town for uninsurance, or any uninsurance claims, we would get a bill, usually in like the November time frame, that we would have to pay. Starting July 1st, we had to started to contribute to a reserve fund, and it's 1% of the qualified wages, which is up to $21,400 per employee. So a positive thing is that when we get to June 30th, we'll be fully funded for 1 year's worth. So from that point forward, it should be any minimal, unless we have some huge unemployment insurance claims, you know, we should only have to, you know, contribute a very small amount from that point forward.
Yeah.
But then we have to throw out, you know, then we'll go to the, you know, some of the issues we have. I think as I've talked about every time and everybody is aware of, I mean, we have very limited new revenue opportunities, especially anything significant. We've talked at different points today about the availability of grants or lack thereof these days. Then, even though I had this as a positive, it's also could be a negative, which is if the sales tax base increase doesn't offset our decrease in franchise tax. And then I think Craig had asked once before, still a concern with revenue, was just our continued low investment returns. You know, nothing to see that stopping in the near future. So,
to come back to that, we also have fairly low interest rate on our loans, don't we? Because you've worked on that for about three years now to really, really get that down.
Right. We have a couple that are, you know, over 4%, but, you know, usually in most of the new ones, especially any vehicles or like the project for the utilities, you know, is probably anywhere from, you know, probably in the 2 to 2.5% range.
Are those to where you could refinance at the lower rate?
I'd have to look into that a little bit more. The others, the ones on the park, whether we could do that or not, you know, whether it would be worthwhile or not. Something maybe to talk to BB&T and see if there's something.
So since the general fund's so low, we've got it up, should we pay ourselves instead of taking out loans for some of these other things? I know for a long time we'll take out loans for everything, but should we pay for it up front and then pay ourselves back like it's a loan moving forward?
That's one possibility. I guess I was kind of looking at it as since the rates were so low, the loan rates are so low.
Yeah. I'm just saying the 4% to us versus 1% to us and 3% to whoever we're paying a loan to.
Right. Yeah. I guess I've still been being very conservative, especially not knowing, again, some of the open issues that the town has right at the moment. So.
I think our highest loan rate is the cut
four. Yeah, I think there's two or three loans that are, you know, a little over 4%, and then everything else is below 4. And most of the ones in the last 3 years have been, you know, less than 2.5%.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it might be a good idea, though, to think at what level of reserve should we anticipate doing what you're suggesting, and then calling the delta, right, between what we would pay, calling it revenue to the town.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At least for any over 4%, if we can't renegotiate them without a penalty. I assume we don't have prepayment penalties on any of our lines. But
well, I think the there's a couple that do. They're the smaller ones, like right. But the ones that are most important, like the two on the park, yeah, there's no prepayment penalty.
Yeah.
Issues and concerns related to expenses, and again, you know, number one, you know,
yep.
How are we going to pay for it if we have to? If somebody has a good idea, I'd be glad to listen. So, number two, also again, we don't know what's going to happen. Future funding requests for the Carolina Beach. I know Dean has mentioned that. You know, is it going to be $15,000 that we had to pay 2 years ago,
we'll
or is it going to be $2,500?
We'll know tomorrow, not any later than this time next month.
It'll take a year for registration.
Yeah. It'll be well into next well into next fall or winter before the state's money is available. So, I mean, we can say, oh, we might just have to pay $3,000, but if it comes up where the state is not helping us at all, it's going to be a lot higher.
Right, and then it's also, you know, not only this time, but is it something, do we need to anticipate this from this point forward?
I think in the future, it'll, on an annual basis, it'll be much, much lower. I think it'll be around $5,000 or less. But for between now and September, it could be anybody's guess.
Yeah, so one and two are, number two is a one-time thing that is going to end up whatever it is, right? We're just going to have to deal with it. Three is going to be, we hope, lower, the way it looks like it. One is the big gorilla, right? I mean, just
right.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing the right things, but, I mean, with the Sandman and everything else, but it's we're not going to know for a while, I don't think. The good thing is there's a big fund to get us through a few times as we work it out, but it could be really ugly.
And for us, if, you know, again, we're going to need to determine what do we need to put aside. I mean, we put $96,000 into that debt, but that's basically nothing, so, you know. It's a start, but
it shows we started,
right.
But we don't want to show we're willing to pay for it all. So,
right.
So I think it's not an economics issue; it's really a politics issue. If we put too much in there, we're saying, yeah, we can shoulder the burden.
Right.
If we don't put anything in there, we're ignoring the problem. So,
and that's why the approach that we've taken, I guess, the last two years
right.
in regard to, you know, contingencies and whatever.
Correct.
But it's still something, again, if we have to come up with
right.
$1.2 million or whatever it may be.
You're doing the right thing, highlighting it. The problem is we're not going to be able to answer the question.
And then it's just, you know, day-to-day increases in operating costs or, you know, again, things to be need to watch out for. And just, you know, funding for some of those capital projects that I mentioned, some of those were fairly significant, some water and sewer and stormwater. Again, we've been building up reserves for that, but, you know, it's... When those projects come, I'm sure it's going to be a combination of, you know, what we've built up in reserves in addition to some type of financing.
So, I mean, Sonny's not here. Steve might have some thoughts, too. For stormwater and water and sewer, I think the history of the town, we seem right on track with that, with the fees that you and Sonny have been recommending and the council's been passing. Unless something really changes in the expense side or the aquifer runs out of water, right? As long as those two things don't happen, I think we're good in those areas, right?
Well,
where we're going.
Well, I'll say water and sewer. I think until we did the increases over the past 2 years, I mean, we were barely covering our day-to-day costs.
I think the things we've done,
right.
We're right on track, right? I mean, if you recommend we need to adjust them a little bit, I think you're being very prudent. The only economic concern to me for the town, as long as the federal and state governments don't do something crazy. That's the unknown thing, right? But as long as they don't do anything that no one's telegraphing right now, is beach renourishment.
Right.
everything else without really just impacting citizens hugely on taxes or on their water and garbage fees, without any change, it's going to be similar to what we've seen in the past 10 or 15 years. Every couple of years, we're going to have to bump it up a little bit. But if you look at how much the average citizen pays over time, it's below inflation, the increases over the past 15 years, right?
Right.
They're below inflation. Your tax rate for being a citizen to Curry Beach, not to New Hunter County, but to Curry Beach, is below inflation.
And right now,
of course, because the tax base is growing, that's why, right? Because more citizens are moving in. But eventually that won't work. But the buildings that John's adding and helping us out. And then some revenue streams, right? Whether it's another tower, another communication tower or whatever, those are making the difference of it.
And like you said, the first two, stormwater and water and sewer, I mean, we've taken steps already.
Right.
To help build up the reserves for those potential projects. So.
Don't forget to put Ed's jet ski in there for business.
Yes, and the noise.
So actually, that's, I'm going to stop at the...
Do you want him to go through your current goals before we go into discussion topics and then do your goals for next year? Or do you want to stop now?
Let's do discussion topics, then bring these back so we remember what they were from last year. So Craig can see them if he hasn't seen them before.
Do you want to break before you?
The agenda. Mr. Pagley's up first if you want to.
Okay.
Bring it up.
Yeah, let me wake up.
No, you're not saying I put you to sleep, are you? Hey.
You put him so at ease. You put him so at ease with your financial acumen that he rested.
I know it was when the lights went out. Did he turn the lights out?
He wasn't concerned.
I got some snoring over there.
You can do no better in finance than make people be unconcerned.
Well, it looks like I'm up first about town volunteer appreciation. And, I mean, you know, some of the chair people were here earlier, and they do a lot of work. They spend their own time and their own money and everything else. And I think maybe we should, you know, I was talking to, I understand that they may be interested in maybe some versions or something or a launch or something, but I think we should show them that we appreciate all the work they did. I mean, you know, sometimes we do end up telling a lot of people to council signs and send their ass back to do something else. But, you know, and the lady that does the, the concerts and stuff, she put a lot of time and work into that, and so does the committee. So I was hoping that maybe we could get together and, I mean, Nancy said these little jerseys were only $18. I mean, I don't know how many volunteers we have.
Something like that.
They put in a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I want to show them that we appreciate it, because I think sometimes they work harder than I do.
That's true.
See, I was honest about it, but, you know.
So I agree with Steve. I think between dinners and jerseys, I know I like mine.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people like these. And it's something you have for more than just one time. So right. We put money aside, right, Arlen?
Right. Yeah, about 2,000.
So, and how many volunteers are there?
What we're up to would be possibly now might be 75 or 76.
There's
66
volunteers and
26
volunteer firemen is the count.
There's
some
duplication,
right?
No. Yeah. I'm up to 75. I'm making a list.
How many did you say total? 66 and 26.
66 on all the
92.
Boards and committees. That includes damage assessment and emergency management.
So that's $20 a jersey. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So are we talking about volunteer firemen too?
Yes.
So
they're not all on there. Some firemen are getting paid, so they're not on the list.
Right, the six that are getting
I went through the list, and that's what I came up with so far, 75.
Well, should there be any paid firemen on the volunteer
fireman
list?
That's right.
No, that's
right.
What I said.
Okay.
That's
right.
So
I've got 92. I don't know where.
92?
That's fine. Okay. Y'all, but Rick was reconciling the list. That's $20 a jersey, which fits into the budget.
Right. So, well, what we were looking at was the hoodie, like this, and they were $26.89 or something.
So she's doing it.
Over budget about $50.
We get the Nancy's to see if they can get a better price because of the quantity or something.
I mean, that's the thing, is when you've got the one color logo, it makes such a big difference. If you've got a color logo, it almost adds like $5 to each garment.
The volunteers, what I was questioning, the volunteers don't want a logo. They want the embroidered logo.
See, that's going to be at least $5 more per garment. At least.
I've been polling them, and this is what the volunteers want. Like the shirt here.
They want the round town logo?
Just like that.
That one.
And another color. I don't know why you're laughing, Mr. Mayor, because the volunteers do a hell of a lot of work in this town.
I'm laughing at you. That's what I'm laughing at. Tony?
Tony, relax.
Okay, calm down. So what you're asking...
Well, if you're going to want another shirt like that, you're looking at least $24, $25.
Right. Maybe more like 28.
The price was 26. The price was $26.98.
Yeah.
For 76, it came out to $2,050.48.
She said that was 76.
So we could give or take some, because if somebody wants a double X or a triple X, it's $5 more per shirt. So, I don't know.
Okay, so first, what I would propose is scrub the list between you two so we know how many it is.
Yes.
We have $2,000 in there.
Right.
Just going to go over that. It needs to come back at the council meeting in January, in 3 weeks.
Well, if it goes over, if it doesn't go over that much money, we could also take it out of the committee money that we have.
The council will have to decide.
Yes.
If it goes over $2,000, bring it to the meeting in January.
Yeah.
If it's under $2,000, I think it sounds like we would say order them, right?
Yeah.
If it's over $2,000, it's got to come to the meeting on the 27th.
Right.
Otherwise, you can order them. How much will the meal be?
I thought that they decided they didn't want to do that.
Well, she was just asking budget-wise. They said they would prefer something that they can wear around.
Yeah. So that's my question. My question is going to be, are you going to have an event?
You can't get any of all the people there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We should have an event when we give them out and recognize everybody.
No, yeah, we could do a pre-council meeting and then have like the girls up
there. Oh my God.
We have to do it before it gets crazy again, though.
Ask for tuition reimbursement.
You can't do it for March if you order them at the end of this month, probably, because you won't get them in time, right?
Not for January.
Yeah.
What does that number come up to?
Well, the 96 with her number times 26 is 2,500. That's why.
Well, we can vote in here. I mean,
we can.
If you
just got to take it from the contingency fund.
You need to look at the whole thing. Are you going to have an event where you put it in addition to the shirts? Are you just doing the shirts? How are you going to distribute the shirts? Mm-hmm. Just doing the shirts.
I think we should just have another council meeting. I don't think that they're concerned about food at all. They just want something to recognize them for their work and wear something with pride. And I don't think we have to have a...
Yeah, we could do it like we've done the other recognition stuff right before the meeting, right?
Right. The mayor can shake their hands as they walk by, and one of us...
And they all shake their hands. Yeah, they're all volunteers.
And that's right.
Do you really think all 90 would show up?
No.
Probably not. Right?
Well, if they do, the other problem is they won't fit.
We'll have them standing down the hallway.
That'd be a big problem.
So then maybe the point is... a letter of recognition, thank you for a valuable service... signed by the mayor and the council.
Yeah.
Give them to the chairs to give out their next meeting.
Give out at their meeting.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be nice them on the website. And we're not going to spend any money.
That sounds like a good idea. A letter of recognition. The one that I polled so far, I didn't poll all the committees. I didn't have time to get to them all. And most of them, they'd rather have the shirt, it shows off that they're a volunteer and the town is giving them something. I mean, when we gave these great ones out, I mean, people were very happy that they had something that showed that they were a volunteer. And nobody else who got paid got one.
Should we have the word volunteer?
No. Well, they want it just like that, That's the consensus I've been getting so far.
So why don't you come up with the price?
About 2,500.
So we're somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500.
That's right.
If we're including all the volunteers in the volunteer fire,
I'll make the motion.
Hold on. One, just something that got us in trouble the last time we did this was the cutoff date for when you were volunteer.
Right, exactly.
If you had resigned the month before, you didn't get a surety, you were going to continue for 5 years.
Right, right.
So are we going to backdate any of this, or are we going to cut the list off?
That's a good point.
I went by the list that Nancy gave me, and I've been going through that list.
A couple months.
Just say, for instance, the community center, there's only like 5 people on it. So, and I just gave that to Mrs.
Yeah, so
Gordon.
That's what I mean.
Do you have a thought?
The chairman and the vice chairman just resigned.
Yeah, no,
right.
You're right.
Go back and
no,
organize.
No. As far as how we did it last time, if you work, people resigned and they didn't get a shirt.
Right.
Yeah, she just wants guys from the council, so she's
right.
Not taking the heat, which I agree with.
That's right.
So
but I blame it on you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's
if, I,
great.
If you were a volunteer as of January 1st, 2014, an active volunteer, whatever that means, right? On some list somewhere, right?
On the official list?
Yeah, the official, unofficial, unofficial list. So now you want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we spend up to $2,500 for the volunteer police.
Putting if you want to call it.
And have them ask Tony directed with a logo on them. All in favor?
I second.
Yes. Okay. All right, all in favor, see what I'm saying? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
Good job. Good
job. Yeah.
Make
the
motion
go on the check.
Yeah, from the contingency.
Well, comes out. Well, let me say it comes out of the council budget. I think I can find a line item in there.
Fine, yeah. Okay.
If not, if you want to take it out,
we got.
Let's see, that'll be 3 of Dean's.
And so,
yeah, maybe 4 checks.
I make a motion that is to volunteers that are active as of January 1st, 2014, yeah. On any committee or volunteer organization assigned by the town or controlled by the town.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Is that helping?
Good.
Are you happy now, Tony?
Yes, I'm fixing people.
Dean, you're up.
Okay. We're going to have a meeting with our state representatives at the end of the month. But what I wanted to do is get consensus from this council, and the last 0.5% of the ROT funds, I don't think that, I think we should set it up so any town with 3,000 residents or less are not beholden to the same rules as the rest of the towns with ROT funds. And I would like to take that 0.5% and put it toward our beach renourishment. So it'll be $50,000, $60,000, $90,000 a year that we can put toward beach renourishment. I talked to Senator Goolsbee, talked to Davis, and I talked to Catlin, and they're all on board. The only thing, the only person I haven't talked to is Susie Hamilton. I think if we put it, for 3,000 or less, it's not hitting the town of Wilmington and the town of county against each other. They're big guys. They can duke it out. But us little guys, we need a little bit more control over that money.
And that's the 0.5% that has to go to marketing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That I. You got my. So do you just need a consensus, or do you need a vote on that?
Yeah.
Because we're all going to be at that meeting, right? That's
yeah.
The beach
yeah.
Meeting. Yeah.
And that's what we're going to, base it on. And I think it should be a win-win situation. I don't know.
So who's over 3,000? Is Dare County? Why did they pick that? I'm sure someone
they
came
didn't
up
pick
with
it. I mean, we're just all in the same boat. All of the beach towns are in the same boat with county and city.
Actually, it might be a little higher than that, but.
But I mean, why are you putting a limit on it at all? Is what
I was trying to capture the small local communities, right?
So Charlotte, but the big ones, if they do beach renourishment, we're going to want the flexibility as well.
We got Carolina Beach and Riceville Beach. So
yeah.
I think it'll cover everybody.
I think
3,500.
What would you get? I was led to believe there'd be a lot of resistance.
Yeah, from the marketing people. You're
from
right. Marketing, that's right. That's how the tax. So you're trying to get other. Okay.
Right. So if you keep it at 3,000, they're going to look, oh, that's like 15, 20 communities. No big deal.
I don't know. The only reason I'm asking, we should ask Rick Catlin, because he would know, or the sand guy, is there some entity that does beach renourishment that's bigger than that would like the same opportunity, right? So I don't know if Dare County or one of those guys are...
Well, this has to be a local bill from our local legislature.
Just,
yeah, I know. It's going to be just like the one that Charlotte did, but instead of the, everybody coming one at a time, it'd be smart for it to be a broader base, right?
So Dare County doesn't have an RMT.
Who doesn't?
Dare County.
Okay, well, I just put them as an example.
Yeah, but our...
That does beach renourishment. I don't know if there's somebody else. I'm fine with it. So whether it has a 3,000 or not...
We'll ask Rick at the meeting.
I just don't want us excluding someone that we might could help out that may not be smart enough.
Was Carolina Nancy? Beach? That would exclude them.
Did you hear from...
She's going to be there. She is going to be
there. Like 5,000 something.
Oh, yeah. So
I thought they were closer to 10. That's why I was thinking about 10, so we'd have them on.
No, I think they're over.
Carolina Beach with this?
I thought they were.
They're over 5.
They're over 5.
Okay. They're over 5.
Okay, good. So it was closer than I thought.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, I just don't know why you put it up for cap on it. I see your point, though. It's strategic because of the marketing guys. Right. I understand that. But we want to make sure Carolina Beach is included. Yeah. Right?
Well,
they would appreciate
that. The council members are there, and they're on board with it. So.
Price they weren't paying attention to the 3,000 in it.
Right. Chrysler Beach is the only one I think that, you know, I really don't have a feel for it because they're itchy.
These are 2,000 folks that ought to be happy.
Well, they do a lot of their own advertising, you know, like Sunspeed Resort and all that.
Well,
advertising.
Yeah. That, I'm surprised they're itchy. Well, is it a new mayor or one of their commissioners? Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Emily, you good with that, right? And
yep.
Steve, you're good with it, right?
Yeah.
So that's a consensus?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Emily, you're up.
I was simply suggesting that next year, because Christmas will be on a Thursday, and we usually get the day before on Christmas Day, which would be Wednesday and Thursday, and frankly, there's a thing on here about not being able to accomplish much. If we take Friday off, but I don't think we're going to accomplish anything anyway, except for maybe the police department. They might be the only ones out there. I would like to recommend that we have a 3-day holiday in December and go on and let everybody off.
Is it just from 2014?
Just 2014, and
we
that's all.
We don't do that anymore? I mean, ever since I was a city employee, it was the day before and the day
after. Well, we all went to Wilmington. We did state government.
Friday, and then we got Thursday and Friday and Saturday off.
Our personnel policy says 2 days of Christmas.
Everybody else I know does it, but...
that's what the state...
Anyway, I make a motion that we give all 3 days, Wednesday, 24th, 25th, and 26th, off to our employees. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion?
Yes, sir. 1 year only.
How do you come up with $6,500 loss of productivity?
Well, the best I could do was estimate 1 day's worth of pay for all full-time employees, plus FICA.
Because they're paid holidays. Yeah.
Right. So that was the best way I could put it.
Okay. But I at least understand, because I was thinking... Streetlights have to come down anyway. Stuff has to happen.
It's not going to cost the town anymore, but I think loss of productivity.
Yeah.
So, Dennis, right. would you have to pay your people time and a half who are working that Friday?
No.
Okay. So,
in terms of walking traffic, we were extremely slow.
Sure.
Luckily.
One customer.
Send them to your house.
I hated to think you guys.
Cool. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Tim, we have a vote. We got a motion and a second.
Yeah. All in favor,
you did the second.
Saying aye.
All opposed?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right?
Was anybody opposed?
I can't tell until I hear it.
Was anybody opposed?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Greg is up.
Greg is never.
Forget it.
Okay.
Am I on the screen?
Is he on the screen, Nancy? Nancy, am I on the screen or am I talking from this?
What is it?
Do you have something?
No. I don't have anything.
Did you email?
No.
If you emailed
it to me yesterday, I wasn't there.
Okay.
I was saying bye to my children.
Oh, yeah, you were out.
So, yes, yeah. That's right.
What am I actually looking for?
I'm looking to see if I got, I don't know if I put bags on the first
drive.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I want to talk about this, and I want to tell you all, this is an idea. This is an idea for discussion.
I'll take it.
Second.
Okay.
I'll get one.
Is that
positive
is that
inputs,
a
negative inputs?
Or is it a,
I don't know.
Full-blown inputs.
Lisinski.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
So it's a Word document?
I think that's the right one.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yep. That's close enough.
I'm not sure how it's going to come up since not a power.
I think that's the first one I typed.
At the end?
Mm-hmm. Is that everything? Yeah.
Take it on a smile.
Okay.
It's too small.
Okay. Listen, I've been...
Oh, revenue generation.
I was thinking about the problems we have as citizens and as commissioners. And... you know, we have a problem. We need revenue. And why do we need revenue? It's because of all the things that are now going to have their hands in our pocket deeper than they've been in our pocket in the past. Higher insurance increases, flood insurance increases, property reevaluation coming, less money for inlet dredging, less money for beach renourishment, infrastructure improvement costs that we saw. We saw some more potential capital requests. And we're going to have growth in operating expenses because I think in the beginning, Nancy, you told us we can expect to see growth in population and growth in our costs. So I think we need people who haven't been contributing to the beauty of our area. And I think we need some type of friendly paid parking. So, what do I got here?
A little bit of
I'll just scroll down to the Word document. You just scroll down to Word document.
Yeah, I'm not.
You may need to just arrow down.
Oh,
just scroll down?
Yeah, there you go. Just use the arrow, just scroll down.
Keep going.
Just don't hit
the okay. Now, last time we talked about this, there was a lot of work done by Tony and a lot of work done by Dave, mm-hmm. and we came to a conclusion, and I think these were the issues that drove our conclusion to no paid parking. And you're going to have to help me if I missed any, Dave. Cost of equipment. We had a significant equipment cost. We had a significant cost for a management company, right? So that meant that our return was negligible, I think, until like year three before we started to see any kind of money. There was additional cost to the residents because we wanted to have a $15 decal, right? Something like a $15 decal. And our businesses were ticked because they thought it would have tremendous impact. So I started to think about that, and thanks. Thanks for helping. So what if we could do this? What if we could have friendly parking that would build cash in the first year by eliminating the equipment cost, by eliminating the management fee? What if we could have our business owners share in this opportunity and actually get revenue from parking? What if we could cover the cost of the police support? And Dennis, I've never spoken to you about it. That's why this is an idea. We're going to need some thoughts from you on this, I think, if we decide to do anything with it. And if we didn't charge the residents anymore. So the next thing is, so how would you do that? How would you accomplish this? Make all of that happen? Well, I think it's simple, but the devil's always in the details. So here's one solution. You put parking signs on K and Atlantic, because that's what we're talking about, K and Atlantic right now. Daily parking or daily pass or resident decal required for daily parking. Daily or weekly pass can be obtained at local businesses, town hall, or online. Online maybe if you're vacationer and you know ahead of time. At town hall maybe Monday through Friday, but always at our businesses that are open. Maybe with a sign in a window that says, get your parking pass here. If you go with $5 a day, it's $8 a day if you look at Carolina Beach. If you go with $5 a day for a daily pass, maybe a $25 weekly pass, meaning that it's a deal to buy the weekly pass. You let our local businesses keep $1 per day per pass they sell. We have 121 spaces out there. The police force gets $1 per day for every pass that is sold, and any tickets they write all go to the police department. Any ticket revenue. If that's a $25 ticket, a $20 ticket, whatever it may be. And the beach fund then would get $3 every day, every parking space that is not used by a local. Next page. I think in that scenario, if we could convince our business owners to help, everybody can benefit. They get revenue, just like selling a lottery ticket. Actually, it's a 20% revenue, not a 7% revenue, so it's much better than selling a lottery ticket. It also will drive people into their businesses. People who come for the day want to go down to the beach are forced to go into the business, get themselves a day pass. Town gets the revenue, and all we have to do is buy a few signs and figure out how to cover the costs of the police force. It encourages all the residents to buy their decal and actually put it in their vehicle. I don't know if you think we get everybody to buy one now, but I know we don't really enforce it. This would have everybody engaged in doing it. And to the good citizens who do put the decal on their car, it's no additional cost to them. So the town, the residents, the business owners, and the visitors, everybody gets sand, and nobody gets taxes. That's my thought. Maybe if we could scroll down one more, I think.
I think that was the last page.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
See a picture? Maybe we could have lights now.
I think that might be
up at home. Oh, is it something?
I have a question.
Yes.
Your passes are daily and weekly.
Yes.
Okay. Ferry arrives, and at least one, maybe several of the people coming off the ferry stopping here at Free Beach for lunch at Jack Michael's or the diner. And they will have to buy a $5 day pass in order to go get lunch. Right? Or
yes.
They risk getting a $25 ticket.
Potentially,
right?
Yes. Yes. Now, this is an idea, so I'm not saying...
They're going to find out they have to pay $5 for an all-day pass for 1 hour, and...
They can pay for 2 hours.
That's only if they want to pay for
3 hours. For 2 hours.
You could look at it this way.
It is not a 1 hour.
Let me offer a point. Your point is very valid, Emily. It is. But I would tell you, are you willing to give up $30,000 to $35,000 a year to the beach fund for 50 people to stop for lunch?
Yes. Okay, I want to see the calculations of how you got 30 to 35,000. We have no surveys on how many local people park in those spaces during tourist season.
Well, you're absolutely correct on that, so I was conservative. I said there's 121 spaces. I said half of them would be with locals. And I'll tell you what, I think that's very conservative.
And who's going to go after the people who don't pay their parking ticket?
I don't know. I can tell you, there are 50 things I don't know, but before I try to know them, I'd like to know if there's value. Or otherwise, you're just asking Tony, myself, Dennis, everybody to go spin their wheels. I mean, if there's value here, then we should pursue it in a concerted, directed way. I think if there's value here, we should talk to the business owners and see if they'd even be have an interest. They might say,
yeah, right.
You know, if they say that, then you say, okay, now what's the next plan?
I'd first like to talk to the police department and see if they're willing to participate.
Right, right.
And I don't mean whatever council wants us to do, we'll do. Do you have the men to do this?
And this is brand new.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I said you never saw it. And that's why, I mean, from an input, that's why I don't think there should be any particular voting on this, but maybe we should have set a direction. Because people need to understand it.
I truly do not want to get the police department into the parking enforcement business.
Okay.
I really don't. We enforce parking now, but it's at the level of, it's a serious problem. In other words, there's a car parked where it's causing a problem. It's an issue.
Oh, okay.
It's not a not an unpaid parking place issue. It is a hazard or another greater issue. It's as far as the police department receiving any revenue from it, that would be and the next chief may disagree with this, but in my opinion, it's a conflict of interest to some degree.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Ticketing, so you get the money back.
Yeah, and we, you know, I get that as enough as it is, but the truth is, we receive that revenues directly back to us. That's why we don't even accept any monies at the PD for any civil ordinances or civil fines.
Fair point.
That all flows through town hall, and the council puts that money wherever they see fit. But so that would be an issue.
From my perspective, when I looked at this and I tried to do the math, the hope was that there would be enough there to maybe have some part-time individual walk around. Now, maybe that doesn't need to be somebody in the police department, but we would fall short because we'd only come up with, at $1 per, you'd probably come up with about $3,000 extra a year, and that's not going to cover, a walk around.
The thing, and again, just knee-jerk comments here, there's not really a way you can sort of kind of do that when you can't part-time. It's, you either got to do it or not do it. The biggest thing with civil citations, and the biggest, one of my fundamental beliefs in policing in a very small community is you got to police it the same way every day. Be fair. If you don't, it becomes a public relations nightmare. So with certain issues, we try to apply the same amount of leniency or non-leniency across the board. I'd prefer to keep the sworn officers out of this kind of business and look at a civilian. Because it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, any town officer of the town can enforce or write a civil citation. That'd have to be a sworn police officer. In other words, John Batson can write a civil citation. Fire chief can write a civil citation. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a sworn police officer.
Okay.
So those are just, just right on the very top, just concerns I would have. I'm not saying there's not a way to fix it, to do this. Those are just my concerns from my little piece of the pie.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem. Given, I still believe that we need some level of revenue generation. Another alternative if the town was to consider it, is the kiosk alternative, which kind of addresses your point, Emily, because you could buy an hour. Right? Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of the kiosks that are used by our friends at Carolina Beach. So they charge up to $8 a day, and I guess the only value to the business owners in us doing it for less is to say that you can still fish here cheaper than you can fish at Carolina Beach.
Right.
Right? So that's maybe one of the positive views. But that certainly is, the other problem we have with this, though, is there's going to be a cost.
Right.
We need phone lines, we need power, we need kiosks.
Yeah, so that's what we looked at the last time, right? So this issue comes up about every, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. It yeah. has to, because, like you said, there's always a revenue issue, right?
Yeah.
And so the issue that we find when we look at that kind of solution, right, which is what we found the last time, is you got to get to critical mass before you make any money, right?
Right.
So you either got to, with a limited number of spaces, you got to charge a lot to pay the management fee and all the up cost, right?
Right.
And then you've got the resistance issue, right? So, you know, if you think about it, because I've looked at it twice now, pretty much in depth, once you do that in the town, and when we looked at it last time, we included all the beach accesses, right? Because that's the only way to get critical mass. So Tony and I, that's what we looked at. What happens, the next thing that happens out of that, is you push people back into the third, on Third Street, right? And so then you start looking at, well, do our ordinances allow the police department to fix that issue? Because everyone on Third Street thinks it's their yard, but it's really public right away because of the way the road is. So our roads are only so wide, and then we have public right away on both sides of them. That's where sewer lines and water lines and everything go. You could go park in front of someone's yard right now, and they could call Dennis, and he can't do anything about it. And they could call John Bass, and he can't do anything about it, because it's public property, and we don't have an ordinance saying you can't park there. And so I was fortunate, or unfortunate, whatever. I was in high school when Riceville Beach did public parking at all their beach accesses, and that's exactly what it became. And if you Google Riceville Beach Police for the 80s, they became the parking Nazis, right? And every high school student in New Hanover County hated their guts because we all got tickets until we realized we're not going to Riceville Beach anymore. Personally, I think that was Riceville Beach's plan to get all the high school hoodlums out of their beach, but that's what really happened, right? I mean, I lived through it. That's what really happened. And then they did the same thing. They had to make ordinances, and then their police department had to enforce them of parking off street because they had the same issue where they were parking in everyone's yards and all the citizens were really pissed about it, right? And so it's one of those things that when you start down the path, all kinds of weird things start happening, and then you got to start asking yourself, okay, is it worth $30,000 for this that then becomes this, that then becomes this, that then becomes this? You quickly get to, okay, if we do those ordinances, then Dennis has got to enforce them, so that means you're adding another police officer. Well, there's all the $30,000 we were going to get between the management company and them. Mm-hmm. And that's why we kind of went away from it. I'm not saying Curie Beach will never have paid parking. I mean, the pressure continues. Steve Shuttleworth happily told me we should have paid parking now the last time we talked about it, right? Dean and I were sitting there, and they were, oh, we'd be glad for y'all to have paid parking so we wouldn't get so much heat. Okay, thanks, Steve, right? I think it was the last beach, yeah, because Riceville Beach jumped in too. It was the last beach breakfast. Maybe you'll get to hear it at the end of the month. But I think it's something the council's got to come up and talk about. I don't know who gets to investigate it this time, but I think what we're going to quickly find is that, at least my opinion is from doing it last time, is it's not worth the little bit of money we get, because it's not going to fix the sand issue. If we charged $100 an hour, it wouldn't fix the sand issue because people just wouldn't go there. Now, if the issue is, okay, we want to get people out of Curie Beach, we can do that. I don't think that's right. And the argument that, well, no one's paying for the sand but us, that some of our citizens have, is not true. the federal government, which all these visitors pay federal taxes, the state government both pay the majority of that. And then the other money that Kerry Beach pays came from visitors staying in the hotels. That's where it all came from, right? So if you look back to the tax rate, all the sand on that beach, none of it came from, hardly none of it came from property taxes in Kerry Beach.
Okay. Yet.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not saying it won't, right?
Right.
But I'm saying that the parking, and I don't know an answer for this revenue thing, but no matter what we do with parking, it's not going to give us a lot of money. You know, the 0.5%, we need to move that now. We should have moved it 10 years ago. We just didn't realize the feds were going to bail out, you know, and built the fund. The fund is very well built for, you know, the next 4 or 5 renourishment, which for every other form of government, that's awesome, but we're worried about it, which is good. But I just think we got to continue to educate the citizens about, you know, all this beach renourishment that your tax dollars, you're saying, pay for, that's not really the truth, right? There's some of it, but most of it didn't come from the general fund of Kerry Beach. Most of our police cost, definitely if you add the asset forfeiture stuff, which you can't add it for ongoing expense, we say it costs us a lot, but a lot of it, we enjoy the benefits in the off season as much as we do during the season. And then the lifeguards are now being paid for 100% after ROT. So that's out of the room occupancy tax, so it's not coming out of our tax dollars either. I mean, our issue is we live at the coast, and it costs more to live at the coast. But like Arlen's earlier show, the value the citizens get for their taxes, at least in the historical time frame, is very much worthwhile. So if we're saying the argument is we should be pushing people out of Kerry Beach, that's a different argument.
I don't think we should push people out of Kerry Beach.
Right? And I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that, that there's a lot of pressure as you walk around town as a councilman. And I always ask why. If people are saying parking's going to fix this problem, it's not. I mean, it really won't. That $32,000, when you start looking at the additional cost it adds, is a loser or a break even. Right? I mean, it just is. I think if it's not definite win, if it's even a break even, I don't know that it's worthwhile, because it really changes the nature of the town in a lot of ways. And I mean, maybe it's because I lived through the Riceville Beach thing, but I think a dentist has got an officer that came from somewhere up north to talk about it. You talked about paid parking at one of your other places before. It really changes the personality of the town. Even Carolina Beach will tell you, if you ask some old Carolina Beach people before they had paid parking, it changes the personality of the town. I don't know.
We have Keith Ryan that works with me, was a supervisor at Riceville Beach for about 10, and I've encouraged him to speak with him. Matter of fact, he offered to come here today, but I didn't know where this was going or not.
Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff that gets, when you push that button, a lot of other things get triggered. And so,
I mean, it's kind of like Charlie Allen going off about the garbage truck thing, right? It's one of those type issues that there's second and third order effect things that you don't even really see unless you go ask some people who live through it, right? The reason Charlie's so big about it, and some of the old timers are, about the garbage issue, is because Carolina Beach has their friends, and when they went to non-employees doing trash, the contracting company went through employees, and like burglaries went up because these other guys were riding the truck and seeing who wasn't there and who wasn't. And the garbage man, that if you forgot to reel it all the way out, would come get your trash can. Now if it wasn't right there, they just blew you off. And so that's why you get that reaction. I think it's a similar type issue to the personality of the town for paid parking. Now if it would give us, like Carolina Beach does with the north end, you know, $500,000, I'm like, look, that's worth personality impacting, right? Mm-hmm. But I just don't, my personal opinion, that's kind of my impact to the council.
What's the 0.5% of the ROT worth?
$140,000,
$150,000. Is that what it is?
That's what we pay on the marketing fee. That was the budget last year.
No, that's our tiny, tiny portion of that second half. There's, I don't know what the...
Well, that's all we'll get back.
Yeah, but
that's all we'll be able to reallocate.
The whole half.
No, that half
the second half of 3%, but we don't get the full second half of 3%. There's still administrative costs and marketing costs.
But if they don't, if we don't need it, we don't have the cost.
But I'm saying that's, yeah, that 140 or 200,000 is not the whole
but
lot.
That's how much we would get.
That's how much we get now.
And that's how much we get to change
but
to same.
But if we take out the marketing part.
That's what I'm talking about. Right now, the budget of the marketing committee.
We have a little over 200 just for activities, and the marketing part, I just right offhand don't remember what that number. Just don't remember what
no, because we just passed the budget for it for the year.
No, we're talking right now. The way the statute is written, with the second part of the 3% that comes back, we don't get. We get a tiny, tiny portion of that. Most of that goes to the county for administration and marketing. So if the law has changed, so that we get that entire.
We'll get the number, but it's about, at worst case, it's five times, which I think I'm right. She says it's bigger. We'll find out the number. And I could be wrong. I've been wrong more than once in the day.
You know?
But anyways, it's like 150,000 or more, or a lot more.
It's probably in those calculations.
Yeah, I should be able to find my computer. I don't know where to look right now. I think it's working. So,
other inputs?
You have this, is this a concept like for year round or seasonal?
Well, that was another discussion, right? Another discussion point. Is this something we want to entertain? Certainly you could expand it. You could expand it to all the areas without cost. If you want to do this day pass thing, you could say you need day passes at every public access. You could say that. That's not the way that I particularly looked at it. If we would go with the original thought, the part we're missing is a full-time individual, not a police officer, then to walk around and look for the day, you know, for the decals or the day passes. So the point would be, do we want to take a shot at this? Do we want to talk to the business owners and say, what's your view?
One of the concerns just came to my mind, because I know how it is here. I use I Avenue as my thermometer for the occupancy of Curie Beach on any given Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
So I've been here for 22 years. I can drive down Fort Fisher Boulevard, look up I Avenue, I about know what the beach is going to look like and every beach access. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I see that jacked up, say, up to around the well house up there, then I know, without a doubt, there's not a parking place left here in our city limits, mm-hmm, unless it's like on the right of way somewhere back on 3rd or 4th.
Yeah.
I'm saying there may be one somewhere where somebody just pulled out, but by and large, it is probably 95-97% occupied. And that's pretty much every pretty weekend we have, starting about mid-April. And it'll run all the way through. About mid-part October. And that's not Monday through Thursday. That would be pretty much Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But if I bought online pass or a week-long pass, and it's one of those busy weekends, I mean, I would, if I were the tourist, I'd feel like, where is my parking place? I paid $25 for this. Where is my parking place? I mean, I would feel entitled to, you know, I should be able to park there. I paid for this. I mean, these are just other things I think that we might hear about from a public relations perspective, whether it be by social media or phone calls to my office or town hall to complain or whatever. I don't know. I think it's...
Well, that's a fair point. I had not thought about it in that respect. I guess my reference point was, go to a football game, you go to any event, anywhere, hockey game, anything, you pay, and you pay $20 for the event, but the difference would be you do have a guaranteed spot. You give them $20, it may be over there, but there's a spot for you to park. I don't know that we could ever guarantee a spot to park.
You couldn't. You really couldn't. I mean, that's going to... that's going to vary day to day, and there's no way you could.
Yeah.
There's no way to stop selling tickets. You know, there's no way to say, hey, we're full. I mean, it's kind of one of those open-ended things. So.
So your point would be that somebody comes to town at 1 o'clock, things are pretty well already full, they buy a ticket, and then they have no place to park.
Or they've already bought.
That's, well, I mean, that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they have numbered spaces for the kiosks.
I have no, and I'll be the first to admit, I have zero experience in paid parking. I've never worked with paid parking.
That was a damn good question. Dennis, that was a damn good question. I mean,
I don't know.
That's one I didn't think of. I know what to do with that one.
I have some in a town that I work in up north. It's a terrible PR thing, particularly in the past. You've got to have somebody, businesses don't participate, you're going to have somebody on site or at town hall on Saturdays and Sundays. When do you cut it off? Is your daily pass in at 5 o'clock? Is it in at 6 o'clock? People come into town, they don't see the sign, nobody reads the signs, they don't know they have to have a pass, they get a ticket, they're not happy about that. Or they buy the pass and there's nowhere to park, they're not happy about that. And for $5 a day, it's a great value to the person buying the pass, but it's not going to give you much turnover down in the business district. I think people are going to say, well, I pay for the day, on this day. In terms of turnover, probably your kiosk is your better. You can come in and pay $2, for an hour or $2 or 2 hours or whatever. Enforce the civil citation. I mean, we have trouble collecting on the parking tickets now. Are we going to tow people if they don't move? If they come in and just decide they're going to park there?
Well, we could boot them.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, I'm open to points. I just happen to think kiosks, though they solve a lot of problems, they don't give us any money.
Right, exactly right, yeah.
And you also still have to have someone to monitor them. And you were talking about one staff person, but in Carolina Beach, it's from 9 to 9, or maybe 8 to 9 at night.
That's longer.
That's 12, 13 hours a day. A full-time one person, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, you're going to have at least two people.
I don't think you have to check the machines every hour. Are you talking about driving through the lots?
Well, I don't know.
A lot of those machines are going to be debit card, credit card data that would flow back to Arlen, right? Some of it would be cash, but I don't know if you'd collect cash every day. Maybe in the summer.
Yeah, the issue she's talking about is you got to drive through and make sure someone's got a certified pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that they have something.
So they're not getting it for free, right?
Yeah.
So you can give them the ticket.
So somebody's going to be giving them a ticket several times during the day.
I'd only guess you'd get one ticket, but you should check the lot a few times, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was only thinking of K and Atlantic. That's all.
Yeah.
Right? Not all of K, just...
No, K and all of K.
Okay.
Or all of K where we have, the parking spots.
Okay. Would it cover Joe Eek's Park or what we're talking about?
No.
The Corral?
No, it doesn't come up that far. It would end at Big Daddy's or... I guess it goes
one block past
Big Daddy's. Yeah. That's the 121 spaces.
Carolina Beach does it for 11 hours. They go from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
I think if you did it on K Avenue, particularly on good season, then all the Big Daddy's customers will park on 34th Street and walk down. I mean, I just see that.
Everybody keeps saying, well, it's going to change persona, this and that. I tend to agree for the first year. But everywhere you go, you have to pay to park. I don't care where you go, you're going to have to pay to park, unless you want to walk a mile. Yeah, you can go park on 4th or 5th Street, but the reality of it is people aren't going to do that if there's available spaces for $5.
People are inherently lazy.
They're going to park, and they're going to pay money, and they're going to park.
I'll mention.
I'm not for or against it, like I said, but I... I remember when Carolina Beach went to paid parking, and it still pisses me off to this day that I just can't park anywhere without that sticker. But I have a sticker, and so I don't really worry about it. And, I run a charter boat also. Every single one of my customers, where do I pay to park? They already know. They know they have to pay to park. It's part of it. They're going to park no matter what we do.
We could research the kiosk machine and see exactly, with all the technology now, they might have one out there, maybe new, used, maybe it automatically tells you if you walk up to the machine, which ones are in violation, which ones are not.
I think if we were going to do it, you'd have to parking meters in front of every space.
Yeah, that's
ugly.
That's the only way
that's
going to work. And then you're going to have a part-time retiree or somebody that rides around in golf carts all day, chalking tires.
Carrying quarters and giving change.
I personally think linear parking. Look, I always look at Kerry Beach as being an excellent place. We're not a bunch of yokels. We're really an excellent place. And the best way to do it is through a professional company. Otherwise, if we try to do it ourselves, it's just going to be a fiasco.
You got to crawl before you can walk, Nancy.
Yeah, but I feel like you need to go through a professional company. I'm just saying.
Well, who's going to administer where's the administration going to come from? Is that going to be...
That's the thing, right there.
Town hall staff?
Right.
Well, that's where it doesn't make money. That's what we talked with last time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. We don't have enough spaces to really make it worth our while for the initial upfront cost that Lanier gave us. It takes years to actually get up to that speed.
It doesn't even then, because it's like Carolina Beach fines. You got to keep getting new equipment if it's on the beach.
Right.
Every 3 years.
So,
right.
That's where it becomes even in 5 years, you don't make any money.
Does anybody know what Carolina Beach nets in the parking if you take out the Freeman Park piece?
They barely
break even.
That's right.
Because we went to them last time and they said, no, that big number you see in the paper is Freeman Park.
Okay. So they break even.
Take that off, they break even, but barely break even.
They break even.
Well, they break even in the parking. That's why if I say we were going to do it, if we were going to do it, I'd say it needs to be done in house.
Yes.
Like the director of parking needs to be a council member that's revolved every year.
and
the director of parking is council member.
And they have to go out and kick in the cars.
Good.
I was going to say, Emily, that they break even because they pay a management company and because they have all that equipment.
Yes.
The intent here was, remember, our equipment is two signs. Three signs. Maybe a couple signs for our
businesses. Well, that brings up an interesting point. I'm just playing all the angles here.
Sure.
We have, signage is a prerequisite to enforcement, so that'd be something the town attorney would have to look at pretty hard. I mean, it has to be signed so well that you can't miss it.
Possibly over.
Yeah. I've already been down that road. It'd have to be... That's a sign it very well.
Well, and if you did the decal, I think you really have to look at a separate decal. The decal that we have right now is really something you get paid an automobile tax, which is required, and that's a separate revenue stream that the state lets.